Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd for show 66 here of On the Double.
Great week, Sean Wally. Of course, football is upon us, along with some Major League Baseball, the talk that you and I had last week pertaining my beloved Oakland A's and your Seattle Mariners. Boy, what a difference a week makes. I'm telling you, man, I'm riding high, and, you know, 3.5 games up on the Los Angeles Angels, and your Mariners started a hot streak. And now what we're looking at is we're looking at the Mariners about 6 games out and the Oakland A's tied in the AL West, my friend.
Yeah, what a difference the last week makes. You know, 2 weeks ago, it was a 11-12 game lead that the Mariners had to try to climb out of that deficit, and even the Angels were 4 or 5 games back. And now you flip a week or two ahead, and there's a dead tie in the AL West, and the Mariners aren't too far back.
Yeah, you know, and of course the Mariners had a chance to capitalize on that, and of course they had one of their good pitchers, Ronis Elias, on the mound. He pitched about 4 innings, got rocked around a little bit. Actually, he left early. Dominic Leone came in to do a little bit of relief. But by that time, it was a little too late. Jerome Williams showing off today as the Phillies, the Mariners, go over to Philadelphia, and they're in a dogfight right now. I believe that game might be a final. I have to check on that. I believe, yes, it is a final, 4-1. So the Oakland A's can breathe a little sigh of relief as they're off. Tomorrow, they play the New York Mets. Scott Kazmir on the mound. The fine throwing lefty against Dylan G of the Mets. 3.69 ERA against Scott Kazmir's 2.78. Hopefully the Oakland A's can get things going after this 5-game losing streak, Sean Wally.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks since Cespedes was traded by the A's, the big slugger, and it seems like he may have grabbed a lot of the bats that were working and took them to Boston, where his new home is, and bats are kind of going quiet in Oakland.
Yeah, you know, and it was a great, great trade. I still believe it's a great trade. Of course, if you can give up a bat to get strong pitching, and of course, we got Johnny Lester and picked up Johnny Gomes, former Oakland A's as well. And, I still believe that, you know, we can get things back on track. Right now, just looking for one of those bats to wake up and say, man, you know, I want to take over. And you know, I'm looking at Donaldson, and, you know, I'm just kind of wondering where he's been. And, of course, you know, you got Coco Crisp, who's in and out with injury. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before these guys can get things rolling. And I'm thinking that it might be, you know, in early October.
It's going to be interesting, Sean, to see how the AL West falls into place as we move into September, because the top two teams, the A's and the Angels, play each other 10 more times. And we know the Mariners are in that mix too, because once September rolls around, it's all AL West against AL West.
Big homestand for the Oakland A's this weekend, and as you were mentioning, and the Los Angeles Angels will be coming into town. So this is something that the Seattle Mariners will be looking up in the division and taking a look and doing a lot of scoreboard watching, if you will, to see who's going to beat up on who. And so this is a great position either way for the Seattle Mariners. And so, you know, again, this is going to be one of those great weekends to figure out who is going to separate themselves. And doggone it, you know, Seattle looks like, you know, they're not going away. And this is something that you've been talking about, you know, strong pitching with Seattle. And, you know, of course, Robinson Cano, and we didn't know what Robbie Cano was going to be for the Seattle Mariners, and didn't know if it was going to be enough. But when you're batting 320, and he doesn't have a lot of home runs knocked out, but he sure is the glue as far as the offense for the Seattle Mariners. And that is, you know, one of those things that, you know, Seattle has to get better at it, you know, as well. You know, talking about the Oakland A's and their bats, the Seattle Mariners, you know, looking for some more bats as well. Hey, Sean, kind of give me an idea, because there are some things in the last series that the Mariners just played in. Manager McClendon going out for two games, being ejected for the last two games. But as I was mentioning, you know, the manager for the Mariners, McClendon, going out and being suspended, but that is doing no harm as far as the Seattle Mariners are concerned, as they continue to climb up the ladder in the American League. But no doubt about it, I believe that my Oakland A's are definitely going to take care of business there. And so, you know, you better believe it. So shifting gears into the NFL, some great, great football that was going on over the weekend. And I can speak for my beloved Oakland Raiders as the Raiders came, you know, into the O.co, taking care of business. It looked a little shaky in the beginning. And what I mean by that is, you know, the defense is something that really, really must get better if the Raiders are going to do some great things going into the regular season. I believe that they will definitely do that, no doubt about it. But first and foremost, you know, making sure that offense is in place. Matt Schaub doing a good job. I'll just say that Matt Schaub doing a good, decent job. You know, looking forward to him doing some awesome things. But what I'm more impressed about is the validity now in the Oakland Raiders quarterback situation. So the past few years, even going longer than the past few years, there have been some trying times at quarterbacks, Raider Nation fans, and you know that. But as we speak, it looks like things are getting a lot better. Derek Carr coming in from Fresno State, having a fantastic, fantastic camp and also preseason. And, of course, having Matt McGloin, that seems to be the talk amongst the Raider Nation. Matt McGloin showing his muster and doing some great things as well. And so the Raiders came home for some home cooking and wind up winning under the arm and under the direction of Matt McGloin, winning the game 27-26. Of course, up in the Pacific Northwest, the Seattle Seahawks took care of business against the San Diego Chargers, the hated San Diego Chargers of the AFC West. And, you know, it looks like the same old thing as far as the Seattle Seahawks are concerned, picking up from where they left off and having a great, great year. And, of course, beating up on the San Diego Chargers, it wasn't even close. But, you know, those are some of the things that have been going on in the beginning of the NFL season. Still waiting for my broadcast partner Sean Wally to get back with us. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and when we return, we will talk a little bit more football. And we'll start to open up the calls as well. So if you guys want to call in to the show, you definitely can. This is the show to do it. The number is 888-429-5471. That number again is 888-429-5471. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pains went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name. Cause you fell with the brush fame.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally, handling a little bit of technical difficulties once again. I think we did pretty well, Sean Wally.
Well, hey, you're learning on the fly to ad lib and roll with the punches, go with the flow, kind of like the flow of the White Salmon River on Saturday.
Oh man, boy, do you have a story for us or what? I mean, you went out and braved the white water rapids. You sent me the pictures, man, and every time you think that you're motivating me, and it just makes me sick. But, man, I know you're out there having a lot of fun.
Oh, what a great run the White Salmon River is. If you're into adventure sports and whitewater rafting, it's a definite must get to one of these summers in the Pacific Northwest, just north of Hood River, Oregon, across the Columbia River, up into south central Washington. And there is a 10-foot waterfall to go over with the raft at the end if you choose to. There is a cliff jump, about a 20, 25-foot cliff. You get to jump into the river. Man, it's fast-moving. It's swift. It was definitely an adventure.
You know, one of the things that I have questioned is who is the person taking pictures in the other boat? Because obviously there's another boat when you guys are floating up and down on these rapids. That person has to have, you know, what's a steal, man. I mean, I can't even imagine. If I were to be in that boat, I would probably cling on to every last bit of the raft to make sure that I'm not falling out. But man, it looked like you guys were somewhat having fun. I know that there's one of the pictures when you made the drop, man. You guys totally, no more heads or anything. I just saw the front of the raft, the front of the boat, and that was it. And then you guys, like, emerge out of nowhere, you know, to go down the rapids. But, man, if you say that's fun, then I got to believe you. But I got to tell you, partner, there's no way in the world that you're going to get me on a whitewater rafting.
One of these days, you're going. And if I have to start you on a calm, scenic eagle watch that will bore you to death, then I will start there. And we will crawl before we walk. And you would be impressed with the people taking the pictures. You would want to be right next to them.
Well, you know, I can imagine that is a lot of fun. Of course, you know, being in the Pacific Northwest, such as yourself, you have those different adventures that you can take. And so that's, that's great. But here in Northern California, man, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, a great fall classic, if you know what I mean. And of course, starting out a strong NFL season, you know, with my boys taking care of some business in the beginning, and that, you know, Give me grass and concrete and about 55,000 to 60,000 people, and I'm good. I'm good. You can leave that water stuff, you know, for you guys up there in the Pacific Northwest. But man, I'm glad that you definitely had some fun.
Yeah, Sean, it was a good way to top off a fabulous weekend for yourself. In one, I believe, I think you turned about 27 again?
Man, almost 27 times two. But, man, hey, thank you. Thank you. Had a great birthday weekend and, you know, enjoyed it with the family and did some great things. Of course, I had the chance to go to a concert this past weekend. Color Me Bad. Man,
now, that doesn't take people back.
You know what? To be honest with you, it was an excellent, excellent concert, and it was put on by one of my good friends. And, you know, I didn't think that it was going to be that great. I had a blast. I had a blast, went out with my wife, and it was just, you know, a fun, fun time. Went out with a few friends as well. And so I didn't think that I would have as much fun, but it did. It brought me back to those times back in the day. And so, you know, had a great weekend celebrating my birthday there.
Awesome. Great time with friends and family and definite good memories had all around.
No doubt about it. Of course, you know, we have to take a break sometimes. I mean, you know, we're engulfing ourselves into, you know, I won't say between you and I heated debates, but, you know, we have these, you know, we have to prepare for our show and, you know, always trying to make it the best possible. And so, you know, that was a great release to unwind before coming into another week on the double. And so shifting gears. Sean, I believe Sean dropped off on us again. My goodness, we're going to get this.
I'm here.
He's here. All right. So you're back, man. So tell me this, because the Raider Nation, we have gone through a lot of ebbs and flows, ups and downs. You have a quarterback up there who we had been pushing for the past couple of years in Terrell Pryor. Of course, no doubt that we wanted him to be our number one quarterback. It just didn't work out, and you could say it could be a combination of many things. Most of the Raider Nation will tell you that it had something to do with front office between Reggie McKenzie, Dennis Allen, as well as, you know, as Terrell Pryor not, you know, being that fit in the Raider Nation. How are things going up there for Terrell Pryor?
Well, he's doing all the right things in practice. He's watching enough in the video room with Russell Wilson and the coaches. And really, he's done okay in the two preseason games. Of course, Friday night against the San Diego Chargers, he had a fabulous 44-yard scamper off a naked bootleg for a touchdown, which is one of the pluses of his game. It's his speed and his size. The issue is accuracy on his passes. Does he have the right touch? And also decision making, and you know all too well about that with Pryor's time down in Oakland.
Yeah, there's no doubt that he has great feet. And of course, he had one of the longest runs from scrimmage for the Oakland Raiders last year. I believe it was 96, 97-yard touchdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. Has tremendous speed, great athleticism. But the arm, that, you know, it always derives around the arm. I'm sure, you know, Terrell looks great. He stands strong in the pocket. But as far as what he's reading, that's the biggest key. So I guess my question to you is, and this could help some of our listeners, Raider Nation listeners, is do you believe that Terrell Pryor can be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Not right now. I mean, you guys saw that in Oakland. He has flashes, and it's the flashes that give that hope. But it also is what creates that animosity and that frustration, because you know he can do the right thing, and he can be a pocket passer at times. But then on other times, you're scratching your head saying, what did you see? How did you fire into triple coverage? You know? Why did you run that ball and hold it out like a bag of groceries and have it ripped from your hands? And he needs tutelage. He needs guidance. Now, if there was a team that was going to be 1-15, 2-14, and they knew they were going to be that bad and needed somebody young to groom and were willing to do that, that would be an all right situation for Pryor. But at the same time, you don't want to risk his confidence, which can't be all that high coming off of what happened to his tenure ending in Oakland.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, Terrell, again, as I said before, is a tremendous talent. I think that there is a place for him in the NFL. Right now, he wants to be a starter, and I just think that he has to, you know, bide his time a little bit. I think he's in a great position if he wants to learn under the coaching tutelage and, of course, learn from Russell Wilson. But I just think that Terrell Pryor, with his understanding, knowing that he came from a top-notch organization or a top-notch program in Ohio State, and he sees Russell Wilson, who's come from one of his rival schools in Wisconsin, I just, you know, I can't see him wanting to learn when he feels that he's better. And, you know, I think that maybe there's a team in the NFL that has an older quarterback that will allow him to have a progression, allow him to get better. But, I'm thinking that, you know, it's going to be Russell Wilson and Tavarius Jackson. I don't know if the Seahawks, maybe you have an insight on this, Sean, as far as the Seahawks possibly keeping three quarterbacks, but I just don't see that happening. And if that's the case, I see Terrell Pryor being a journeyman here by the end of training camp or at the end of preseason.
And that's the big question in Seattle, is not whether or not Pryor is going to be the number two, because I don't see that happening. That wouldn't be necessarily a wise move to send Jackson packing. Number one, he has a guaranteed contract, guaranteed $1.25 million, which for a backup is a decent amount. It's a lot of money for a backup, a guy that hopefully doesn't see the field. But at the same time, he's won games. He's won games in Seattle, and he's a proven quarterback and possibly one of the top two or three backups in the entire league. Would you cut him and pay him that $1.25 million to go away?
No.
He's done nothing wrong. He's loved by the coaches, loved in the locker room. And so with Pryor, the question is, do they want to keep him as a third string this season and then potentially move him up to second string in 2015? That is the only scenario I see happening in Seattle. And that is the question. Does Pete Carroll want to keep a third quarterback? Does he want to take up a roster spot away from another backup offensive lineman or defensive lineman? And he hasn't done that much in Seattle, but Pryor is such a gifted athlete that maybe you take that chance and use that roster spot and keep him on the squad.
Yeah, you know, I just don't see that happening. You know, of course, you know, again, he's a great football player, and I expect him to do some great things in the near, very, very near future. Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks taking on the San Diego Chargers this past weekend. And, of course, coming off of a tough loss in the first week of preseason, of course, we know, because we have our San Francisco 49er faithful that listen to the show as well. But we know that preseason isn't everything. And, you know, that's all it is. But, of course, the Seattle Seahawks lost to the Denver Broncos the first week, came out the next week, looked like a fine-tuned machine, almost mid-season form, the way you guys handled the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, it was definitely not much of a contest early on. Seattle got out early, and Russell Wilson ran in not one, but two touchdowns. And the funny thing is, that was the first of four rushing touchdowns by Seattle quarterbacks, as you had Russell run it in twice, Terrell Pryor, the 44-yard bootleg I mentioned, and then B.J. Daniels is also in camp, the former 49er, and he also ran one in. So it seemed like the Chargers were too busy trying to cover the likes of Percy Harvin, Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse, Zach Miller, and forgot that the quarterback still has the ball.
And yeah, and great quarterbacks. You mentioned four quarterbacks that are tremendous, not only with their athleticism, but, you know, they're upfield and reading the defense. And so with that being said, when you're running that spread, and Pete Carroll likes to switch it up with a few formations here and there. Of course, San Francisco likes to do that as well. We'll talk about them in just a second. But when you have quarterbacks that are able to slice and dice through the defensive line, it makes for a long, long day for defenses.
Absolutely. And if you look at the quarterback Seattle has in camp here in the preseason, they're all similar in terms of their attributes. Yes, Russell's the best of the bunch, but they all can run. They all are athletic. You know, very few are stand up, I'm 6'3 and I can't run around Dan Marino types. They can throw, they can run, they have vision, and they're all of similar mold. So it's interesting that the Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick type of quarterback engulfs the quarterback room in Seattle.
And, of course, Seattle's doing a very good job on staying away from the injury bug. And this is something that Seattle's done a very good job with over the past couple of years. Of course, last year winning the Super Bowl seemed like there was maybe two key injuries here or there. But this year going through preseason without some major injuries, that has to be a good sign as well for Seattle as they start the regular season.
You have to look at the offseason conditioning program, and the majority of Seattle's nucleus stays in the Puget Sound region in the offseason. Number one, they want that additional money. Number two, they've got some of the best facilities in the NFL right on Lake Washington. You know, Seahawks headquarters, brand new in the last 5 to 7 years, top-notch, Paul Allen doing things the right way. So why wouldn't you stick around, build that camaraderie with your teammates, and also get those extra checks? And you have to look at the fact that there haven't been, knock on wood, too many serious injuries in Seattle the last 2, 3, 4 years. Yeah, you had Percy Harvin, but that was an issue that they found out about before the season last year that they decided to have taken care of. That wasn't like an in-practice or in-game injury. So you look at the other teams in the NFC West, of course, the 49ers have lost a number of guys already, and they have looked very, very lackluster. And we know the preseason doesn't really mean a lot, but you definitely don't want to put out 0 points in your opening game at your brand new stadium and get it handed to you.
Well, let's talk about that because, you know, if you listen to the media out here, and for those of you who don't live in Northern California, you would think that, you know, it is mainly run or split down the middle, you know, 49ers and the Oakland Raiders. I would tend to say that there are probably more 49er fans in Northern California, at least in this part of Northern California, than there is Oakland Raider fans. And that includes the media as well. There's such a bias that I hear whenever anything happens with the 49ers. Well, it's just preseason. Oh, they're going to be okay. But let me tell you this as a Raider fan. If the Raiders got shellacked the first two games, 57-3, let me repeat that. Because this is very, very important when you're talking about a team that's supposed to be vying for the Super Bowl this year. And, of course, we'll be hosting Super Bowl 50 next year. When you start out, and I don't care if it's wins or losses, it doesn't really matter in the preseason. We've already beat that dead horse. But when you start out your first two games and your opponent scores 57 points and you score a whopping 3, please, please don't tell me that there is nothing to worry about. There is a whole lot, Sean Wally, to worry about when you're getting smacked around 57-3 and you've gone in the offseason and you've beefed up your receiver core and you've signed a huge contract to your number one quarterback and this is what you're getting. I'm not saying that the 49ers are going to have a horrible season, but what I do know is this. You come into preseason to score points. Whether you win or you lose, you come into preseason to score. You want to see a progression. And right now with the San Francisco 49ers and their 3 points after two games, there is grave concern, I feel, moving forward, especially when you're talking about in a division to where there's the Arizona Cardinals that are getting better, even though they had a major injury we'll talk about in a second. And, of course, the St. Louis Cardinals that are doing some great things as well and have bettered themselves in the offseason. And, of course, the Seattle Seahawks, the defending Super Bowl champions, looking like they're hitting mid-season stride. Yeah, I think San Francisco 49ers should be worried, Sean Wally. So what we will do is we're going to take another break. And when we return, we will talk a little bit more NFL. We will get over to the AFC West side of football. You're listening to the best sports talk, so keep it locked in on the double with the Double S Express.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah.
'Cause you fell with the first flame. Yeah. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. And we're just talking about the NFC West and some of the things that might be changing here in the upcoming season. Of course, we're talking about, San Francisco actually having a little bit, or should be a little bit worried about the lack of offense the lack of offense that they do not have. And, I'm sure that Jim Harbaugh is going back to the drawing board and talking with his coaching staff and making sure that they sharpen things up, Sean Wally.
Well, you have to look on the defensive side as well, because that's where a handful of their injuries have been so far in the preseason. Mm. And they gave up 34 points this past weekend in week 2 of the preseason, to where you should be fine-tuning. You should be picking a few things to try and do better and get better at. And they got it handed to them at the first game at Levi Stadium.
Yeah, and you're mentioning defense, and that is something that is, a concern as well for the San Francisco 49ers. And a couple of key defenders, when you're talking about experience, especially at the defensive backside, you're talking about Terrell Brown and Carlos Rogers, who both jump ship and go across the bay to Oakland. And, they're definitely doing some great things. I believe Carlos Rogers yesterday had 4 solo tackles. And, he's showing that, he can be that type of a person to teach the younger players, the younger DBs, how to play. And, of course, with San Francisco, 34 points, that says a lot. That says that they're not getting pressure on the offensive line and getting to the quarterback, which holds the defensive backs very vulnerable for a long night. And, that's what happened, 34 to nothing. That's a lot of things that went wrong, Sean.
And I don't know if you heard, Sean, but the first game for the 49ers in their new stadium, and one of their fans unfortunately had a heart attack and passed away. Condolences to that guy's family, and that's not what you want to happen, regardless of what team it is and the fan base, but it's just bad omens all the way around for the start of that stadium and the 49ers beginning play there.
Well, let's talk about some of those things that you're talking about. Again, condolences to the person who passed away, because that is not the way to start things off. But it goes, you were mentioning with the Seahawks as far as you know, the advantage that Seattle has with the new stadium, with the sound that comes out of it. It is, you know, one of the loudest places in the NFL. I'd say right now it is the loudest until, you know, our boys start to get some wins back up under them, and you'll get a chance to hear loudness coming from the mausoleum in Oakland. But, you know, definitely a strong sound coming out of Seattle. And then you have San Francisco, which I believe that they probably had a better advantage or more of a home field advantage by playing at Candlestick than they do at the new confines, because even though it's a new stadium and it seats 70,000, the way it's structured and the way, you know, it's designed and the way it sounded yesterday, it was pretty quiet, you know, after the, you know, the national anthem. You know, it's going to be, they're going to be hard pressed, meaning the San Francisco 49ers, to find that identity and create a home field advantage.
Yeah, definitely. I really like the point you're trying to make here, Sean, and it just seems like it's new for the 49ers, new for their fan base, and yes, the stadium is going to be gorgeous and have a lot more amenities and have wider concourses and be night and day from what we saw last December at Candlestick when we worked the game down there, Seattle and the 49ers for Fox. And I thought, I was blown away at how atrocious that archaic stadium was. Yes, Candlestick has nostalgia, if I can get that word out. And, you know, it's got a lot of history behind it, but man, there were so many areas that could have and should have been updated and upkept a lot better for a better fan experience. But not only that, but the players. You know, you go around the league to the newer stadiums and even stadiums built 10, 15, 20 years ago, and Candlestick didn't even hold a candle, pun intended, to a lot of the stadiums in the league. And now they're moving to this great new stadium, but you're right. There's zero history now. The visiting teams coming in don't have to worry about any mystique or specific crowd noise or, you know, you have to avoid this section because that's where all the rowdy crazies are. Nobody knows right now. Nobody knows what to expect. And it's not in San Francisco, so you might be getting a different type of fan being in a whole another city.
Yeah, you know, and I believe you and I talked about this before. You know, when they're playing in San Francisco, the weather is night and day. So you're talking about overcast. It's very similar to what is going on in the Pacific Northwest, you know, most of the year, except for their longer summers in the Bay, you know, over in San Francisco and in Oakland, a little longer summers there. But when you're going down to Santa Clara and you're more inland from the coast, it's a lot warmer. And when that's the case, you know, again, you're trying to find who it is that you are. And for the San Francisco 49ers, there is no mystique when they're playing in Santa Clara. And it is, I believe, it's an audition for every visiting team that comes in, because again, the Super Bowl will be there next year. And so you get a lot of teams that say, hey, you know, we have nothing to lose. Let's just go out here and play fantastic football. And so, you know, just like the Seattle Seahawks, the San Francisco 49ers have to hold serve because, you know, they were the second best team, I believe, in the NFL last year. So there are going to be a lot of teams that are, you know, gunning after them. But when you have the injuries that they have, you have the indecisiveness of their offense and not being able to put points on the board and having a defense that's giving up points at will, it's not a great recipe, regardless of the preseason or not.
So across the bay to a place that you say is going to be loud eventually there in Oakland one more time, if the Raiders remain in Oakland, that's a question mark at this point.
Good point.
Your Raiders, that you have a big affinity for, they got on the right side of the win column this past weekend, and Matt Schaub looked better than he did the first week, and a little bit of progress is a good thing.
You know, you had mentioned something, you know, with the Hawks and their quarterbacks and how they're all identical. And that's so important when you're trying to put together a solid, solid quarterback system. And I believe that the Raiders are, you know, our Raiders are definitely on the same page as what's going on up in there in Seattle. You have three quarterbacks of likeness and when you with Matt Schaub, Derek Carr, and Matt McGloin, they're all headsy quarterbacks that keep their eyes upfield and want to make the plays with their arms. The other thing is that, you know, Derek Carr is content with learning from Matt Schaub, and this is what we were talking about that Terrell Pryor probably isn't willing to do with Russell Wilson. But you have Derek Carr that's willing to learn from Matt Schaub, and it's making for a great recipe. And the other big thing is you have to keep in mind that Matt McGloin, a lot of Raider Nation fans, you know, I've been, you know, on the blogs and on Facebook and everything talking with my beloved Raider Nation, and they seem to love and believe that Matt McGloin still is a possible candidate to be a starting quarterback for the Silver and Black.
Yeah, Sean, that's going to be very interesting to see how that eventually unfolds, because it would appear that Schaub is a stopgap. Schaub is a veteran who's been there, done that, who's had a couple down seasons, but he's also had a few really good seasons there in Houston. So I think what Reggie McKenzie and the Raiders are hoping is that he can try to rekindle what he's done in the past, find that fire, find that accuracy, and bring some consistency to the quarterback room and on the field in Oakland.
Yeah, consistency is the key. I would stop short of saying that Matt Schaub is a stopgap. I truly believe that when Reggie McKenzie went out to get Matt Schaub, that he's looking for a quarterback to be solid for the Raiders for at least 2 years. And, you know, a stopgap to me is Brian Hoyer, who I'm looking at right now for, you know, the Cleveland Browns. He's a stopgap because, let's face it, you know, Johnny Manziel, this is his team and he's going to take it over. But I do believe that Matt Schaub was brought here to Oakland to actually be successful. And, you know, Matt Schaub has had more successful years than not, and he's going to have a tough time, to be honest with you. The Raider Nation is not, you know, we're not a nation that's just going to say, hey, you know, welcome you with open arms just because you've signed on the dotted line. He's going to have to prove himself. And right now it is a 50-50 as far as, you know, what the nation believes, in Matt Schaub's prowess. And so it's going to be a little bit, you know, it's going to take some work. Maybe, you know, maybe after the first game against the New York Jets, and, you know, if he clobbers the mess out of them, because right now the Jets are vulnerable, I believe, even though they're favored by, I believe, 2.5 points, you know, this early. But, you know, I think that if Matt Schaub comes out in that first game, you know, the Raider Nation will definitely embrace him.
And this week coming up for the NFL season dress rehearsal, which typically week 3 of the preseason is, you get Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Now, do me a favor. The Packers, of course, come to Seattle September 4th for NFL kickoff weekend, the first game of the year being on a Thursday night. If you take a couple of the Packers out and do a little harm to them, that'll be quite all right with the 12th man in Seattle.
Well, you know, it does bode well in your favor. Most of the time, when you're in the third preseason game, Sean, the offense normally starts to scale it down a little bit, and the defense pins their ears back, and they start to play a little bit longer. So you can look to see the likes of Justin Tuck, Lamar Woodley, Nick Roach, and, of course, Khalil Mack, who, you know, he's proven to be a solid player, but not anything spectacular just yet. You're going to see the defense play a lot more than the offense, maybe, just maybe early on. If you're lucky, you know, we might see a Justin Tuck sighting and, you know, clobber the mess out of Aaron Rodgers. But you know what? He's a Northern California guy too, so we, you know, we can't go out and beat up on him. We want to see what that looks like when he's playing against the Hawks up there.
Hey, he's wearing the wrong colors. He's not wearing silver and black, so he's fair game.
Well, that's true. That is so true. And so, you know, we're a far cry from getting respect in the NFL, and you know that. And that's not, you know, just the, you know, the Raider Nation crying over spilled milk. That is a bona fide fact. That is, you know, the Raiders are going to have to do some great things. We're going to have to win some games in order to get that respect. Right now, it just looks like it's the same blueprint to the rest of the NFL. You know, you pick up a few journeymen, hoping for the best. but I truly believe that Reggie McKenzie and Dennis Allen have a strong, strong blueprint, and you can see a lot more cohesiveness on the field. Of course, you got Maurice Jones-Drew having, an okay preseason, but I think that they're holding some, when I say they, I believe the Raider Nation is, or the Raiders are holding back, some of the big guns. I do believe that Greg Olsen has a strong, strong offensive arsenal in his playbook, and he's holding out, and Raider Nation, look out, because I think that that playbook's going to be opened up come the first game of the season.
So do you think this is the last straw for head coach Dennis Allen in Oakland? Is there a specific record you and the Raider Nation fans need to see to have Coach Allen keep his job? Or is there just a little bit of progress in certain areas and that'll be okay?
Well, you know, there is a strong passion in Oakland as far as the fan base is concerned, and sometimes it's split. We all would love to see at least a 10-6 season, or even something along the effects of 9-7, something above 500. As far as Dennis Allen and his job on the line, I just think that the Raiders have to show promise. I think they have to show a progression. Right now, the players are in place for the defense with Coach Tolliver, and of course the offense pieces are in place with Coach Olsen. And so I think there has to be a progression shown as far as the team getting better. If that is the case, and that's not hard to do, to be honest with you, going 4-12 last year, it's not hard to do. But I know the murmurs are that Dennis Allen, more so than anything, has to prove himself as a bona fide coach. The Raider Nation is not sold on Dennis Allen just yet. Now, for me personally, I happen to think that he is the right fit for us, and somewhere down the line in the near future, we will see that. But he's under the hot seat, definitely under the hot seat as far as the fan base is concerned. But I believe if you talk with Mark Davis and, get a chance to talk with Reggie McKenzie, they'll say otherwise. Things are moving in the right direction. Even though Mark Davis is more along the lines of, I want to win now, as long as the team is moving into that right direction again, I think that they'll be okay. So we're going to take another break, and when we return, we will talk some more football, and we'll probably dab a little bit into baseball. We're going to open the phone lines again if you want to call in, 888-429-5471. Again, that number is 888-429-5471. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. Show number 66. Man, who would have thunk it, Sean Wally? Show number 66, moving right along, man.
66 shows and counting. Got a big one coming up for you next week. We'll tell you about that right before we exit stage left here tonight. And it's been a fun journey and one that we just keep on plugging away.
Most definitely, you know, and bringing the, you know, the finer sides of sports. And of course, we normally have guests on the show, and, you know, we wanted to, when we don't have guests on the show, of course, we want to open the phone lines. And again, if you want to call in, you can call in to 888-429-5471. Again, 888-429-5471. You can call us and talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about in sports. And Sean, there's a, you know, another postseason that's going on right now, and that is the Little League World Series. There seems to be a buzz going on in the Little League World Series and one spectacular pitcher.
Absolutely, playing for a team out of Pennsylvania. Not something you see every day on any baseball field for what is mostly guys playing hardball, but not in Pennsylvania. They've got one phenom, Monet Davis, that is a lights-out pitcher for their Pennsylvania team, and they're moving forward, and she is definitely a phenom that is taking up all of the lights, all of the TV cameras. She's been on SportsCenter being interviewed and talking up how she wants to go to UConn, playing the WNBA, thinking big and dreaming big in Williamsport.
Yeah, who would have thought that she would come out and say something like that to, you know, to want to play at UConn, and you know, after having a spectacular pitching outing. I believe she had a two-hitter the last game. Is that correct? A two-hitter. She's got a split seam. She has a curveball. So she has some changeups along with that fastball. And she was just mowing down the batters. And man, it was incredible to watch because, you know, she has some great stuff. And I was thinking, where does she go from here? Because when she goes to high school, they don't have overhand baseball, you know, for the young ladies there. And then, of course, college, the same thing. And I was thinking, man, would she have to, you know, switch up her style and go with the, you know, the wind up underhand? And she came right out and explained that she wanted to go with playing basketball at UConn. And, you know, like almost like calling out a home run, if you will. But what a fantastic young lady, and with a great head on her shoulders. And, you know, you just know that she has a tremendous upside. Tremendous.
Yeah, it's amazing. ESPN did a sports science feature on her. She's throwing 70 miles an hour. And a key to her deception with her pitching is her arm slot always stays the same, no matter what pitch, from every windup, doesn't matter. And by arm slot, for those of you that may not know, that is basically the angle of every pitch is the exact same.
Right.
And so it's hard for these hitters in the Little League World Series to be able to tell, okay, that arm slot's a little bit lower, she's throwing that up higher, that's a fastball. No, they can't guess. Because everything looks the same coming out of her hand.
And you mentioned a valid point. You're talking about the Little League World Series players not being able to tell. It's hard for a Major League Baseball player to figure out what's coming out if the pitch level is the same. And so, you know, she would be awesome if she had the chance to make it to a next level. You know, but unfortunately, you know, with Title IX, there is no sport for her to actually play unless she breaks a barrier, which that could very well happen as well, because there's no doubt about it. She can compete with the best of them. But it sounds like she has a great, great future in basketball, and sounds like she knows what she wants to do in playing in the WNBA. And she's also a phenomenal student as well. So that's awesome.
Well, Sean, we've talked a lot about football being here, and that means a more of a workload for you and I, and you'll be doing a little bit of football work here this weekend.
Yeah, so I will be in San Francisco working for Fox. Of course, the San Diego Chargers come into town, and that's a nationally televised game. Of course, Fox would, you know, wants to showcase this phenomenal stadium, if you will. And so it should be a fun weekend, of course, getting a chance to get out there to Santa Clara. Of course, there are some things that you would have thought had been fixed, you know, as far as, you know, traffic is concerned. The whole reason for moving the team down to Santa Clara, I thought, was to have a little bit more space and room to get in and out of, you know, the stadium. But it sounds like there are, you know, more problems than not, you know, as far as the traffic is concerned. Let's hope that they get that fixed here in the near future.
Yeah, because that was a definite headache leaving Candlestick when I was there with you in December working for Fox. Holy smokes, I've never seen anything like it. And if you're saying that so far at the new stadium it's still an issue, wow, you would think they would have engineered that a lot better with ease of traffic in mind.
Yeah, you know, it is. It's a little mind-boggling knowing that you already have a bid for the Super Bowl next year and, you know, what the words are, you know, word on the street is that there's one way in and one way out. And of course, the San Jose Earthquakes, the MLS professional team, was the first team to play in there. Of course, they played against your beloved Seattle Sounders. And, you know, that's when all the headaches started to arise as far as traffic is concerned. Now, I heard it was a little bit better this past weekend, but, you know, outside of that, you know, it looks like some bad traffic to look forward to in the near future. Now, for you, my friend, you're going to be doing some things for ESPN, and that's coming up this, I believe, this weekend as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a new experience. Get to work for ESPN, which, of course, I've done before, but the venue will be different. Cheney, Washington, the red carpet that is the field at Eastern Washington University. Sam Houston State coming into the Spokane area to take on Eastern. So that'll be a fun Saturday afternoon affair, 12:30 on ESPN.
Now that is a rematch of last year's quarterfinals game that was at Roos Field, the big red field up there in Cheney, Washington, which Eastern Washington came out on the short end of the stick. I believe it was 35-31, which Eastern came back and fought valiantly, but just came up short. So that should be a great, great first game, and you should have a lot of fun up there in Cheney. And, yeah, definitely give us some great reports on that one. Of course, man, you're doing some other awesome things as well. You're also, for those of our listeners that don't know, you have a tremendous, tremendous opportunity as you try out for PA announcing for the original World Harlem Globetrotters on the 27th.
Yeah, that's going to be a crazy, crazy whirlwind day. I got an offer from the Globetrotters to be flown down to Phoenix, Arizona, and they're inviting only 5 to 10 guys to try out for two public address announcer positions for their 2015 tour. It would be a six-month adventure all over the western U.S., so we will roll with the punches, give it our best shot, and see what happens.
Has it sunk in yet? I mean, you know, we're talking about the Harlem Globetrotters. We're talking about, you know, a historic franchise. And of course they play the Washington Generals every game and they go around and travel, but has it really sunk in that, you know, you get this job here, that you will be a part of such historic greatness?
Man, you know, I mean, we've had a Harlem Globetrotter, a former Harlem Globetrotter on the show, and now the opportunity to just audition for them is taken me back in itself. And the fact that it's going to be at U.S. Airways Arena, where the Phoenix Suns play, so we're talking a big-time NBA arena. We're not talking a little college or a small community center or something like that. And now it could be, it's time to travel the country for 6 months and share Globetrotter basketball with all of their fans around the western U.S., and it would be a lot of fun and a great experience for sure.
Well, I know you're definitely going to knock it out of the park there and do an awesome job. And I look forward to, after next week, you know, bringing you back on the show as one of the new PA announcers for the Harlem Globetrotters. Man, you know, nothing but the best of luck to you. And I know you don't need it, because you're going to go down there and take care of business.
Well, that's the plan, and we'll see if they make a decision right then and there. I'm kind of curious. Are they going to tell us right then and there what happens, or are they going to go back to the drawing board, listen to the tapes, and look everything over, and then make a decision a week or two down the road? So we'll see what happens, and it'll be a fun day in Phoenix for sure.
Well, you know, you're saying, and I've said it to you before, you know, the separation is in the preparation, and as long as you get that taken care of, you're good to go, man. You're good to go. Show number 66 is almost in the books here. Sean Wally, it's been a great show talking all things. We talked a lot about the NFL, talked about your Seahawks, talked about the Mariners, A's, Raiders, San Francisco 49ers. Got a big show coming up next week, Sean Wally. Got Paul Gackle from the Gackle Report coming to visit with us again. And, of course, he had an awesome fantasy pool with the PGA golf that ended the PGA season. And, man, we represented pretty well, didn't we, Sean Wally?
Yeah, how ironic is it that we both entered? I entered the first week that we knew about it, and I got fourth place out of all entrants in his fantasy golf event. I believe mine was covering the British Open, and you select seven golfers, and Gackle takes how those golfers finish and the money they win, totaling all that up, and the people that have the highest total winnings are the winners. And I ended up getting fourth, and then lo and behold, for the PGA Championship, it was DSX one more time represented by fourth place, but this time it was not me.
Yeah, man, I looking back on the picks that I made, two of my people didn't even make the cut. So, if I would have just had one more person that made the cut, we would have definitely been in the money there, man. And, that was my mistake. It was a rookie mistake. It won't happen again. So, Paul, if you're listening there, you just know that the Double S Express is coming. And we'll definitely take care of business on that. PGA Fantasy League, that is some great stuff, man. That's right up there with football. I didn't think that would be that great, but it's a microcosm because you're watching day in and day out for 4 days. And, things change from day to day. And it was real exciting, man. Real exciting.
Sean, I'm waiting for next golf season to kick off so Gackle Report can hold this contest again. And I want to see you and me holding spots 1 and 2 in no particular order.
No doubt about it. Either way, we're going to bring some money. We can take each other out and call it good. Our second guest for next week, Michael Gray from 710 ESPN Seattle. So we have an action-packed week coming up next week, Paul Gackle and Michael Gray. Mr. Wally, again, show number 66 in the books, man. What's on tap for the Seahawks? Who are they playing this upcoming week?
Well, Seattle has their second and final preseason home game 2 weeks in a row at home, so nice home cooking. They welcome in the Chicago Bears and Jay Cutler.
That should definitely be a good test for the Seahawks. Of course, Jay Cutler is supposed to be the new and improved Jay Cutler. And that's supposed that happens every year, and we'll see how that looks. Of course, for the Raiders, we, as you had mentioned earlier, we have the Green Bay Packers. And so that should be a fun test. You talk about, two franchises that mirror each other. Actually, the three franchises, it just hasn't materialized yet for the Oakland Raiders. We're talking about the Seahawks, Green Bay Packers, and the Oakland Raiders all having Green Bay Packers and Oakland Raider ties to them. Mainly Green Bay ties. All of these teams know how to develop franchises. And it remains to be seen if Oakland can do that. But Reggie McKenzie being of the Green Bay Packer mold, as well as the Oakland Raider mold or the Los Angeles Raider mold, it should be like looking dead in the mirror when these two teams play each other, and for you as well when Green Bay goes up to play Seattle and during the regular season.
Yeah, and of course, once we get to that first game of the year, Aaron Rodgers looking to atone for the last time they were in Seattle, and the Packers had that loss that was handed to them partly by Lance Easley and the replacement referees. And so, of course, they will be looking to try to avenge that last trip to Seattle, and the Seahawks looking to get off on the right foot defending the Lombardi Trophy.
So yeah, I'm, you know, I'm salivating at, you know, as the grass grows as we speak, and so looking forward to another week of preseason football moving towards the regular season. And of course, this time next week, who knows, things might we'll just say change for the worse, maybe for the Oakland A's, or it could change for the better, getting them back into where they need to be. But either way, you have a three-way run here with the Oakland A's, Los Angeles Angels, and the Seattle Mariners. So, you know, keep that locked in as well, because next week you could see the Seattle Mariners, dare I say, in first place.
Which, of course, when I go back to the archives a month ago, 2 weeks ago, even 1 week ago, was talking crazy sauce about how Mariners weren't going to do it. There was no chance in hell freezing over. And all of a sudden, a couple of nice trades, nice offensive pieces in Seattle are starting to make some good things happen here in the month of August. 11-5 are the Mariners in August. They did take one on the chin tonight in Philadelphia, but there are still two games left where they can take the series. And I got to give a shout out and something we have to look back on in another month or so. DSX fan Chris Thompson here in the Tri-Cities, who listens to us, if not live, definitely on demand on the podcast. He said, mark my words, the Mariners will win the West in 2014. Oh, so we'll have to see if Chris Thompson is correct. And Chris Thompson does have some inside info, because he happens to be buddies with one Charlie Furbush in the bullpen in Seattle.
Well, you know, I would hold off on all of that talk. You know, I still believe that the Oakland A's will take care of business. All it takes is another run to get things going again. But I'm not taking anything away from the Mariners. They are doing an excellent job. And, you know, it looks like, you know, the prediction is right. You know, as far as I did say that they have a better chance in getting to the wild card position. But, you know, I still believe that the Oakland A's will take care of business on this one, on this front, man.
Time will tell, my man. Time will tell.
That is right. Show number 66 in the book, Sean Wally. It has been a great one, man. And so when we come back next week, Paul Gackle, Michael Gray, for Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. Don Newsom, the engineer. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world. You can beat the war. Talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up. You can beat the...